again. So this is the Pirkei Rebbe Melech, Pirkei Shishi of Sefer Yetzirah, and this is the psicha to the Perik. Psicha to Perik Vov. Mehusa Perik Ha'achren Shem Sefer Yetzirah, the gestalt of the last Perik is really Biur Inyan Ho'edim Ha'nemurim Shehuzkir B'Sof Perik Hei. At the end of Perik Hei, there was mention of these trusted witnesses. So we're going to be talking, what do we mean, these trusted witnesses? B'sheichusam le'etzim ha'sefer shebolonu b'kabulas Rebbe Akiva ben Yosef, and their connection to this, to the book, which has come down to us as one of the primary Kabbalah texts from the school of Rebbe Akiva ben Yosef. So, there's a Gemara in Makkos, the Gemara says, Pam achas hoy oilem le Yerushalayim. Once the Tanoim were going up to Yerushalayim, kiven shagir laharat soifen, when they got to Mount Scopus, koru bigdehem, they tore their garments, they tore kriya, because this is actually still the halacha when you haven't been to Yerushalayim for 30 days, and you see the Mokom HaMikdash, and you see the place where once was standing the temple, you have to tear kriya. As any mourner has to tear his clothes. In fact, once we're supposed to tear our clothes when we see Yerushalayim, and then again when we see the Mokom HaMikdash. Kiven shehigiu laharabayis, on reaching the Temple Mount itself, ro'u shu'ol sheyotza mebeis kotshe kotshim, they saw a fox coming out of that, the rubble that had previously been housed, the sanctuary, the Sanctus Sanctorum, the Kodesh Kodesh, the Holy of Holies. Hischilu hein boichin, so they began to cry. Rebbe Akiva mitzachik, and Rebbe Akiva is laughing. Amri loy mipnei mat mitzachik, so they say to him, what's the last day? What are you laughing at? Amri lehem mipnei mat boichin, he says, what are you crying at? Amri loy, they said to him, mokim shikosav boy, this very place which is so holy that the Torah says, v'hazara koriv yumos, and the person who's not the high priest on Yom Kippur, anybody who just enters there without permission, yumos gets put to death. Achshav shulim holchu boy, now you've got foxes running in and out of there unhindered, v'loy nifka, we shouldn't cry. He says, no, that's what's making me laugh. It is written, and I will have as witnesses two trusted witnesses. As Uriah HaKohen and Zechariah ben Yevarechia. So God says, I'm taking me two witnesses who will bear testimony. And who are these? Uriah HaKohen and Zechariah ben Yevarechia. So Rabbi Akiva says, V'chima inyan Uriah etzel Zechariah. What connection could these two people have together that God would lay them as witnesses for all eternity? Uriah b'mikdash rishon. Uriah is in the first temple. Zechariah b'mikdash sheni, and Zechariah is in the second temple. So why, what did God mean? Elo tolo hakosiv nevuosu shel Zechariah ben nevuosu shel Uriah. God has connected these two prophecies of these two men and made them dependent on one another. B'Uriah ksiv, with Uriah it is written, Lochein biglalchem, therefore because of you, Tzion soda techrash, Zion will be a plowed field. Zion refers to the Temple Mount. B'Zechariah ksiv, in Zechariah it's written, Oid yesh v'zakeinim v'zakeinois b'rechoves Yerushalayim. There's going to come a time still when the old men and old women are going to be sitting together in the alleyways of Yerushalayim. Ad shelo niskaimog nevuos shel Uriah, until the prophecy of Uriah wasn't fulfilled, Hayisi misyareh, was afraid, shelo tiskaim nevuos shel Zechariah, that the prophecy of Zechariah wouldn't be fulfilled. Achshav sheniskaimo, now that I've seen the fulfillment nevuasu shel Uriah, of the prophecy of Uriah, by seeing these foxes running through the Temple Mount, b'yidua, so it's obvious, shenevuoso shel Zecharim is kayemes, that the prophecy of Zechariah still exists and will be fulfilled. So the Gemara finishes by saying, b'loshen hazeh amru loy. This is exactly what they said to him. They said, Akiva nichamtonu, Akiva nichamtonu. Akiva, you've comforted us. Akiva, you've comforted us. That's the Gemara. So, in the Pirush on the Gemara of Rabbi Yaakov Yaakov Etlinger, and called Oruch Laner, it's a very interesting Pirush. He has some wonderful things to say. One of the things he says like this. Mashahera Kodesh Baruch Hu Lahatzadikim Kain, he says, the fact that God brought it about, that these tzaddikim saw these foxes coming out of the base of Migdash, why did they have to be shown this vision? Yesh lefarish al pima adamirinam biyuma. We can explain it with what we see in the Gemara. The Gemara says, kishishpalalu an shekineses agdoyle, sheyimse biyodim yitzreda avoyde zoro, sheyichriv abayis, yotzu kidmus ariyim ebeis kotshi kotshi. The Gemara says that during the time of the Anshei Knesset HaGdoyla, the Chachamim fasted 84 fasts and begged Rabbeinu Shalom, please give us into our hands the Yetzirah of Avodah Zarah, the desire to pagan worship. There's something so powerful about it. They said, Rabbeinu Shalom, the world cannot go on unless you remove from us the impetus, the compulsion to worship idols. And so we see historically that by the end or the middle of the Second Temple period, paganism was no longer rife and rampant and something that ate away at the Jewish people and their relationship with God. And, you know, the First Temple was destroyed because of it, and even those who were faithful to God, if you read the text, it's clear, you know, that it was a bit fuzzy, our idea of who God is. And by the end of the Second Temple period, we're not really fighting about that anymore amongst ourselves. We're fighting how to worship God and so on. But monotheism, the idea of Hashem Echad, was really firmly implanted because the Yetzirah, the desire to be a pagan, was much weaker, and it wasn't just weaker among us. It was weakened in the whole world. It was on the entire globe. So the way we understand this historical evolution of the human mind, because it was shared all over the planet, is that the Chachamim prayed for God to give human beings an evolutionary push, that human consciousness no longer just fell into the rut. You know, the problem with our thinking is not so much that we think incorrectly. It's not such a problem. The problem is that our thinking has dug such a deep rut in our mind that when we don't think, we automatically slip back into a certain groove. And the groove that humanity had been following involuntarily, like a train on tracks, you know, was paganism. So the Gemara says that they prayed, the Chachamim, the Anshei Knesset HaGdoyla, the men of the Great Assembly, they prayed, Sheyimse biyodem yitzred avoyed zorah, that the desire to worship idols would be given over into their hands, meaning that we would have power over it rather than it over us. So Yotzu Kidmus Arye. So then they saw the form of a lion, Yotzu Mibes Kotsh Kotsh. It's coming out of the sanctuary, the Holy of Holies. Omeluhu Novili Yisrael, so one of the latter day prophets told the Jewish people, "Hainu yitzred avodah zarah," that which you see. So it must have been a sort of a shared vision that people could see like some kind of a leonine form exiting the Holy of Holies. The Navi said, what you're seeing there is something of such power that if we envision something as powerful as the Yitzhara of Edzora, it's a lion. V'amru Chazal, now this is the Orach Lanes speaking, Bayis Rishin Chorev Al Ovoin Avoy Dezora. The first temple was destroyed because of the sin of worshipping idols. Ubayis Sheni, and the second temple was destroyed, Al Ovoin Sinas Chinam, because of the sin of senseless, pointless, causeless, needless hatred between Jews, one Jew for his fellow. Sinas chinam, hatred of nothing. So the Aruch Laner says, Lochein bebayis rishoin yotzu kidmus arye beis kodesh hakadoshim. So this is why, symbolizing the destruction of the first temple, we get this lion coming out of the sanctuary, shehu shoya hayetzahara shel avodah zara gibuk ari shehichreva bayis, because the yetzahara, evil inclination for worshipping idols, can only be compared to lion, which destroyed the temple. Shegodol hoya koicha, because so great is its power. Shomer Menashe b'chalom le Rav Ashi, we know there's a Gemara in Sanhedrin. Rav Ashi wondered, you know, with hindsight, we all have 20/20 vision. What was it about this, you know, that you see these great figures, these great historical figures, who had such genius and they had so much talent, right? And they had so much divinity, right? Prophets, and then they go and worship bits of stone or wood, and what was going on with them? So the Gemara says that Menashe, the king of Israel, came to Rav Ashi in a dream, and he said to him, "Yehavas Hossam, had you been there, havas nokit b'shipule glima b'shinach v'rahotis habasroha, you would have lifted up the skirts of your cloak and held it in your teeth, so that it wouldn't interfere. You know, you wouldn't trip over it when you're running, because you would have been running after this paganism so fast that you would have needed to hold your ham in your teeth so you could run faster." So we can't even imagine how powerful was the Yitzhar of Avodah Zorah. Rak al yedei tachbulois umezimois nizres sinne beinehem shekein derech Yitzhar. I missed a line. But in the destruction of the second temple, the Yitzhara wasn't so powerful, since everybody was by then learning the Torah. Like, there wasn't, in the time of the first temple, there wasn't scholarship the way there was in the time of the second temple. There wasn't education the way there was in the second temple. And by the time of the Hasmoneans, you know, Judaism as a literary religion had become ascendant, and people were learning Torah, and people had forms, standard forms of Jewish worship, and so on. So, what was it? It was only through guile and trickery that hatred was planted among them. She came derech Yitzhara, because this is what the Yitzhara, this is what the evil inclination does. Kesheroitze lehachshel tzadikim, when it wants to inveil the righteous into sin, you know, it's not going to dangle a piece of ham in front of him, right? It's not going to dangle some dancing girls, right? Metam ki'ile mitzvah oisim, so it makes it a fadreiten kop. Right, you know, you can't get the tzaddik to sin with his body, but you can make him nuts, right? So if you can get the tzaddik to believe that it's a mitzvah to hate this other guy, v'lirdov ishes ochev, and for one brother to go chasing to death his other brother, that you can do. That's not such a great chachma as to get him to eat a piece of pork. He won't eat, right? But to be right of his brother to death, that you could get him to do, because you could convince him it's a mitzvah. And so the Yitzhara brings it about that there is a senseless hatred. And then the Orach Laner, this is his chap, he says, Zeinin Hashul. This is the fox. Shumoshlish Mezimois, because the fox, especially in those times with Aesop's fables, you know, he's a paradigm of the trickster. Moshlish Mezimois, Reynard. Asha Olav Nema Veish Mezimois Yashia, and about him it's the Pasuk says, and the trickster man will make the other person sin. And therefore, these masters of the mission, Anshi Shehoyu Achachom by Sheni, so the colleagues, who are they? Rabbi Yishuv and Hanani, Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, these are the colleagues, the elder colleagues of Rabbi Akiva, who are their moment is after the death of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, after the destruction of the temple and the exile by the Romans. So they, Ro'u ha-Yitzhara she-hichriv ha-bayis, they are shown the evil desire that caused the destruction of the temple, Yotze b'dmus Shua. So they see it coming out of the sanctuary in the form of a fox, Beis Kodesh Kodeshim. As 500 years previously, the men of the Great Assembly had seen the same vision, Achachom by Srishin, after the destruction of the first temple. They'd seen it, Bidmus Gur Arye, in the form of a lion. So that's the insight that the Oroch Laner gives us. Venera Li, so I want to say, Shekmoy Sheitzlichu Hachachomim, just as the men of the Great Assembly succeeded in vanquishing the Yetzahara of Avodah Zorah, and in fact we see thereafter, immediately we see a decline in the worldwide compulsion and impulse to paganism, the price of that was that at the same time we also lost prophecy itself, and that the men of Great Assembly who succeeded in getting rid of the Yitzhara Avodah Zorah, they also succeeded in getting rid of Nevuah, and they were the last prophets. Because they are complementary. So now I want to add, and just as the men of the Great Assembly got rid of the Yetzirah of Avodah Zorah, and therefore there was the corollary of getting rid of Nevuah prophecy, so the Chachamim of the Mishnah, they did what they could to get rid of the Yetzirah of Sinas Chinam. So they said, if our ancestors thought it was so important to get rid of the desire to worship idols, even though it meant the flip side was that prophecy would die out, what we need to do, because we've seen the destruction of the temple, we need to get rid of this Yetzirah, of this desire for hatred of the fellow, which seems to be, it was like something through which the fabric of Judaism was shot through. So the corollary was, what's the flip side? Nisbatlo gamkein bo'isa tekufa koyach hachachomim. So the power of the sages themselves was the flip side of the hatred between the sages, the koyach hachomim. Why? Ki chocham odif minovi. Because in some senses, as the Gemara says, chocham odif minovi, a chocham actually has more power than a novi. In some, at a certain level, you could say that the understanding that a Chacham has is greater than that that is achieved by the Navi, because the Navi's vision is something that comes from outside him, whereas the Chacham works and takes steps and then makes these leaps into the unknown, but they follow from everything that he's built upon, right? Whereas the Navi goes into some kind of a trance and achieves what he achieves, but it's not really an achievement so much as a gift, right? So the Gemara says in Bava Basra, and so the Mishnah says in Sota, Mishmesra ben Yochanan ben Zakkai. The Mishnah in Sota there reckons out many things that came to an end with the death of a certain personality. Holiness came to an end with the death of this person, and beauty came to an end with the death of this person. And the Gemara says that with the death of Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai, botel ziv hachochma. So the brilliance of wisdom came to an end. So Rashi says, ziv hachochma, the brilliance of chochma, ze lo yadanu mayhi. I don't know what that means. This, I don't know what it is. So on the Mishnah there in Sota, the Tosis Yontif, Chanani Yontif Lipa, the author of the Tosis Yontif, which is actually printed into most editions of the Mishnah, Yontif Liebman Heller, he asks this question. He says that Rashi on the Gemara says, Mishemes Rabbi Shmuel ben Fabi, once Rabbi Shmuel ben Fabi died, botlo ziv hakuhuna. Then the brilliance of kuhuna died with him, came to an end. So Rashi says, what's the brilliance? What's ziv hachochma? The brilliance of kuhuna, I'm sorry, ziv hakuhuna, shehoy chochem v'oshir, that this Rabbi Shmuel ben Fabi, he was a grois chochem, and he was a very wealthy man. The Kohanim Rabim Oichlim al Shulchonoi, and he had many Kohanim, he had many priests that would sit at his table and eat. And so while he was alive, Kohuna, the priesthood itself, had so much glory. Im Kain. So then Rabbi Yontif Lipman Heller asks, if so, Lama loy pirish Rashi al ziv hachochma kidug mosay? So if Rashi has an explanation of what it means, ziv, the brilliance, and when it came to ziv hakuhuna, he found some way of explaining how Rabbi Shmuel was responsible for the brilliance of kuhuna, so how come when it came to ziv hachochma, why didn't he say the similar thing? He could have said, and Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, when he was alive, or he was surrounded by all these chachamim, and he would support all these wise men, and so there was brilliance of wisdom. You know, so, but Rashi says, "Ze lo yudano mahi." This I don't know what it is. So I want to say, "Vuulai," it's possible. Efshaloyme, you could say, Hapirish Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai zocha lemadregas chachmo shezocha bo Moshe Rabbeinu. That in a certain way, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai achieved a level of wisdom that really belonged to Moshe Rabbeinu. V'kiven, the Gemara, there's an interesting Gemara. The Gemara says, V'kiven de Moshe have yoda lamel, since Moshe knew exactly when midnight, you know, Moshe could reckon out the times of day, times of night, when this Malach is in charge of which hour, and Moshe Rabbeinu was connected to the source of time. Why, when he said to Pharaoh, Kachatzois Lailo, round about midnight, I'm going to go out, God says, round about midnight, I'm going to go out and I'm going to kill all the firstborn in Egypt. Why did he say kachatzois, round about midnight? Since Moshe knew that God had said it's going to be midnight, why did he say round about midnight? Kosova, so Moshe made this cheshbon. Shema Yatu Etstagnine Paroi. So the soothsayers and the people who figure out the time, Pharaoh's scientists, will come later and they'll say, Moshe Badoihu. Moshe's untrue. Because Moshe said it was going to happen at midnight, and it happened actually 10 minutes before midnight, or 10 minutes after midnight. And they would find some way of minimizing the plague of Max Bechoyres by saying that it wasn't exactly like Moshe said, you know. There was a bit of truth in it, but mostly it wasn't true, right? Because that's the way the Roshes thinks, right? So if Paroi could find some way of finding fault in the Nevuah of Moshe, he knew it was going to be like that. So Moshe didn't say midnight, he said around midnight. So now what are they going to do? So even though God had given him a definite time, Moshe didn't give them a definite time. Dom Amar, because Moshe, the Gemara says, because Moshe Paskins like Ma, who says, Lomad l'shoin choloi ma'en yedeya, teach your tongue to say, I don't know. Shema tispada v'te'oches, and just because if you don't, metechapn, you know, you'll be caught, you'll be nailed by this one thing that you said that wasn't exact. It's better to say, I don't know. So now I want to say a new Pirush in Rashi. Moshe Rabbeinu was so clever that he could say, I don't know. Right? That Moshe Rabbeinu knew so much that he even knew when to say, when to take the words of God that were definite and turn them into a definite maybe. Right? And to say, I'm not sure exactly, you know, even though God has said it's going to be midnight, Moshe says, roundabout, between 11 and 1. Right? Why? Because Moshe Rabbeinu's level of Chochmah was so great that he had taught his tongue to say, I don't know. That was the ultimate level of Chochmah is there. So now, when the Gemara says, Mishemes Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai, once Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai died, botel ziv ha-chochmah, so the brilliance of wisdom came to an end. And Rashi says, what is the brilliance of wisdom? Zeh lo yodanu mahi. This is saying, I don't know what it is. V'avipirish Rashi, ziv ha-chochma haino ha-chochma ledas, mosay loyma anu lo yodanu. So, it's a new pshat in Rashi. Rashi's not saying that Rashi, Reb Shlomo Yitzchak, he doesn't know what this Gemara means, but rather, Rashi's saying, this is the meaning of ziv chochma. This is the meaning of the true brilliance of wisdom, is to, even when you know something, to say, I don't know. Nimtzeloima, so it would turn out, she'ikaziv ha-chochma, the chief brilliance of wisdom, hi ha-yediyah, is the knowledge, mosai lehastir ha-chochma, to know when to hide the wisdom, lema eniyedet, to say, I don't know. Kishenizbat lehanavuah, when Nevuah came to an end, Nizbat legamkein nitzutz harash b'Nevuah, so then the dark side of prophecy came to an end also. In the time of the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, the prophets died out, and with them there died out the dark side of prophecy, which is what? That's the koyach of avodah zarah, that's the power of paganism. I want to say now, kishenizbat leziv ha-chochma, with the death of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, that's the Churban Beis Hamikdash, with the death of the brilliance of wisdom, Nizbat legamkein nitzutz harash b'chochma, then the evil, the dark side of wisdom, also came to an end. What is that? That's sinas chinam. The dark side of wisdom is hatred, senseless hatred. Void. And I want to say as well, shehasina bo chelef hachochma, that hatred is the flip side of wisdom. Ki hasina gamkein inyan zivug, because hatred springs from zivug, from connection. Ki kmosh isa bekamaduchta, as we learn in many places, like there's a medrash There's a medrash in Exodus Rabbah. Says Vayokam Melech Chodesh Al Mitzrayim Shlo Yodas Yosef, and there arose a new king over Egypt who didn't know Joseph, and he says Hovan is Chakmolem, let's get clever to these Israelites, and that's the beginning of the book of Exodus, right? So the Gemara, the Medrash says Lama Kore Melech Chodesh, why does he call him a new king? V'Halei Pari Atzmoy, was the same Pharaoh that had been there forever. Elo Sha'amru Mitzrayim Leparoi, the Egyptians said to Pharaoh, "Boy, even is David Lumozo. Let's come to grips with this nation." Omalahem shoytim atem. He said to them, "Don't be foolish. Al achshav mishalhem on oichlem. All this time we've been eating their food. Vehechn is David lehem. How are we going to come to grips with them?" So the word, so the Medrash uses the word zivug as an expression of their hatred, right? The Egyptians are saying to them, "Boy, nizdavig lehem, let's make war with them." And Pharaoh is saying, "How are you going to do it?" V'chein harbe. And so we find many times in the Medrash the word zivug as an expression of hatred. V'avah zivug bo mebechines chochma. And k'mo shemuvu le'el b'perik hei psicha le'mishne zayin etzel yecheved, we explained in the seventh Mishnah of the fifth chapter, where it talked about the various the connections, the vertical lines. We talked about the line between Chochmah and Chesed, which represents Chochmah and Iveles, wisdom and its opposite, folly. And that line is the genius of that line is manifest in your chevet. So Chochmah, and we know that your chevet, she's the one who fixes. How does she fix? She fixes through zivuk. She fixes the zivug of Adam and Chava, the intimacy of Adam and Chava. She fixes through her own zivug with Amram beneath the apple tree. She fixes intimacy. So Chochmah is connected with intimacy, and hatred is another kind of intimacy. This is what I want to say. That the dark side of Chochmah, the dark side of the intimacy is hatred. Now we can understand Hatzchoik Shetzochak Rebbe Kiva. So the laughter that Rebbe Kiva laughs, we know that wherever there's laughter, that's zivuk. The Torah tells us, Avimelech looks out of the window, V'hine Yitzchok Metzachek is Rivka Ishtoi. Yitzchok is laughing with Rivka, his wife, and Avimelech calls him and says, "How could you say she's your sister? She's obviously not." So when Rabbi Kiva is mitzachek, he's telling them something, and they acknowledge what he's saying by telling him, and the Gemara emphasizes, and it's b'hai lishna, with this, they don't say nichamtonu, Akiva, you've comforted us. They repeat it, Akiva nichamtonu, Akiva nichamtonu, v'nicham oisem b'shtei nechomois. He comforts them with two nechomos, al bayis rishon v'al bayis sheni, al hanevuah v'al hachochmah. He says, "Yes, we've lost avodah zarah, we lost chochmah, we lost nevuah. Yes, we lost sinah, but we also lost chochmah." V'ikon nichumam al hazivug shloi netka v'loi nifkemu k'mo shehusbar b'perek. And chiefly, what Rabbi Akiva was saying to them is, it's true that they're flip sides of one another, but you know something? They're never completely gone. They don't just disappear, and the nevuah hasn't really disappeared, and in some ways paganism hasn't really disappeared, and chochmah hasn't really disappeared, and hatred also hasn't completely disappeared. And that these koichos, this potential for prophecy and the potential for wisdom, for Chochmah, for the Sefirah of Chochmah of Yesh Me'ayin, is going to manifest itself b'zechus Kiddush Hashem in the merit of the sanctification of the name of God. Al Yodeinu Bnei Yisrael, through us, the Jewish people. And Rabbi Akiva, of course, is the ultimate paradigm of Kiddush Hashem. And this is something that we are going to be talking about in this chapter. Pesicha leMishnah Aleph, and this is the preface to the first Mishnah. Chozer leRosh, the first thing that the Sefer Yetzirah does is goes back to the beginning. Lichloi kol haprotim shenemru ad kan beprokim hakodmim, to include all the details that have been outlined in the previous chapters, toich klal godol hamechel kol haSefer, back into some kind of big generality that will encompass the whole book. And what if ultimately Sefer Yetzirah can be boiled down to generalities, the ultimate klal is Olam Shono Nefesh, space, time, and personhood. The Perek Rishon, in the first chapter of Sefer Yetzirah, Huz B'Ishtalshlis HaSefiros, what was explained was the evolution of the ten Sefiros, HaKivunim, the six directions, Ruach Mayim Esh, breath, water, and fire, Chof Beis Oisis Bechlal, then the 22 letters as a whole, Sheish Kitzvois, and the six ends. The Perek Sheni, in the second chapter, what did we have? Nisbaru Sholosh Imois Aleph Memshin. We had explained to us the details of the three mother letters, Aleph Mem and Shin, Chamish Moitzes HaPeh, and the five expressions, Begoroin in the throat, Bechech in the palate, Beloshin in the tongue, Shinayim in the teeth, Vitzvosayim and on the lips. Ukvias Oisias Begalgal, and we were shown, it was demonstrated how the 22 letters are fixed on the wheel, Amisgalgal Mishapach, and the wheel both revolves and spins, Ponim Veocher, to and fro, as well as around and around, Umuhusrei Shlamet Alef Shorim, and it was explained how these form 231 gates, Vitziras, Mamash Mitoihu, and how the physical world comes into being through the spinning of these gates, and we get something real from chaos. Perek Shlishi, in the third chapter, Nisbaru Inyan Oilam Shono Nefesh, we were introduced to the ideas of space, time, and soul. And the Oisius, and the letters Aleph Mem Shin in the body, in heaven and earth, and in the different seasons of the year. Beperek Revi, in the fourth chapter, Nisbaru Shiva Oisius Kefulois, the seven double letters were explained, and their power in Oilam Shono Nefesh. In the fifth chapter, Nisbaru Yudbeis Oisius Pshutos, the 12 simple letters were explained, and how they are expressed in Olam Shono Nefesh. So now, the Perek Shishi in this chapter, Choizo Makiv Ala Pinkas, he goes back to the ledger and sort of does a total, Lehachlil Kol HaProtim, to include all the details, La'asisam Ba'ashishis, to squeeze them into a flask, Shi'iru Kulam Ka'achas, so that they can all shine out through the glass at the same time. So if we bring all these details together and shove them into this light bulb, they sort of become incandescent, and so the Sefer Yetzirah starts to shine. B'mishnaseinu Harishoino, and here in this first Mishnah, Maskir Toichen Shloisha Prokim, so the Baal Sefer Yetzirah mentions the essence of three chapters, the third, the fourth, and the fifth. Michel Perek Shlishi, from the third chapter, he brings out Shisham Nisbaru told us Oisis Aleph Mem Shin Bechelke Haguf, how the letters Aleph Mem Shin manifest in the different parts of the body, in the head, the stomach, and the abdomen. And the thorax, b'shamayim v'aretz, in heaven and earth, v'tekufis hashon, in the seasons. From the fourth perek, from the fourth chapter, he brings the seven letters, the seven double letters, and the moving stars, shetzim chanchal. And in the fifth chapter, where we talked about the 12 directions, the 12 diagonals. Now in this Mishnah, he brings them all together into Olam Nefesh and Shona. Mishnah Aleph. Shloisha Avos, three fathers. V'toldei Sehem, and their offspring. V'shivo Koivshim, seven Koivesh, Koivesh is to conquer. So we have seven conquerors, seven subjugators. V'tzivoi Sehem, and their hosts. V'shneim Ose Gvulei Alachsunin, and 12 diagonal lines. V're'aya L'dova, and proof of this, Edim Nemonim, the trustworthy witnesses, Olam Shana Nefesh. Olam, world, Shana, year, and Nefesh, soul. So let's look at the notes here. Shloisha Ovois V'toldei Sehem, three fathers and their offspring. Shloisha, we had Avir, Urevoyo, Ogevio, Min Haruach. We have air, saturation, and the thorax that come out of the breath. Shemayim v'choyim v'roish, the head, heat, and heaven that come from fire. Eretz v'koy rubeten, earth, and coldness, and the stomach from water. And this is what we learned in from chapter 3, right? Avos, we call them fathers. We've explained already a number of times that fathers opposed to mothers, because fathers always, whenever we talk about fathers, it means that there are children, that there are offspring. Dovashiyah, like we have the Avot Melachot, the father categories of work on Shabbos. If we call them father categories, then we know that there are subcategories. Dovashiyotzim in Akoyach al Apoyel, and we also said, what's the difference between, why do we call something sometimes fathers, sometimes mothers? When we're talking about mothers, we're talking about mysteries and things that are still concealed. When we're talking about fathers, we're talking about things that are revealed, things that have gone from the potential to the actual. Ki ha'emois alef mem shin hein ruach mayim ve'esh, because the mothers are breath, water, and fire. U'mehen yotzu ha'ovois, and it's from those three, breath, water, and fire, that the fathers come, meaning that they go from being potential to actual, as we saw in chapter 3, Mishnah 2. And we also said that the word avos means desires. So what we get from ruach, we get ahava, love, from the spirit, from the breath. Cheshik, desire, min hamayim, from water. Hislahavis, and passion, min ho'esh. So these are the three fathers. V'toldei Sehem, and their offspring. We learned in the, we've mentioned it a number of times, the Gemara says, midiktona ovois, if the Mishnah calls them fathers, miklal deiketoldus, you can assume that there are offspring. And so we actually find the Mishnah says, three fathers and their offspring. And when they go from the potential to the actual, then they become devekus, cleaving, that is the tolda of water, tekifus, resolve, that comes from fire, and kavona, mindfulness, comes from ruach. V'shiva koivshin, and then we have the seven conquerors, or subjugators. So we had three fathers, which the fathers are that which comes from the mothers, right? And then the seven conquerors, doesn't say the seven double letters, right? Seven conquerors. So where do we find the word conquer? It says, Pru urvu, be fruitful and multiply, umilu es ha'oretz v'chivshuha, fill the earth and vanquish her or conquer her. Ve'ika plukta b'shas, there's a machlokes in the Gemara, Rabban Yochanan, Rabbonim v'Rabbi Yochanan ben Broike. Mashma de Rabbonim de Dorshu v'chibshu ha'chosavov daikish ha'ish mitzuva al-piri v'ribyo. So the Gemara, it's clear from the Gemara that because it says v'chibshuha, but there's a vav missing. It's choser avav. So the Gemara says, so v'chibshuha, it's like v'chibsha. It's not, God isn't speaking to Adam and Chava both. He's speaking to Adam, and he's saying, you vanquish her, so that the means that the man is obliged to have children, but a woman isn't mechuyev to have children. Rabbi Yochanan Ben Broki says it doesn't mean that a woman isn't obliged to have children. She's also obliged to have children, but it's telling us something about the nature of men and women, that it's the way of the man to conquer, it's not the way of the woman. Im kein shivu koivshin mashmoen loy al hashivu tzidkonios hu amurois leel. So then, if that's the case, the seven subjugators, or the seven conquerors, the seven vanquishers, isn't referring to the women that we met in the fourth chapter, but we're rather talking about the seven expressions of genius, which we said, what are they? Chaim, Shalom, Chochma, Oysher, Chain, Zera, Memshola, right? Life, peace, wisdom, wealth, grace, seed, and dominion. So Esther Hamalka, we said she's the one who brings the redemption to the world when she comes to the king through her faith, her simple faith in God and in the Tzaddik Mordechai, who was the Talmud Chochem. And then there was the second level, was Rivka, who makes the Pshora between Chen and Rachamim, between Esav. She mitigates between Esav and Yaakov, so that Yaakov should have a way of surviving through the Golas. And then we had Yocheved, she was the Chochmah, and Iveles, she mitigates between wisdom and folly, because she fixes the Pagam in the Zivug of male and female, which was created by the separation of the hearts of Adam and Chava. And we have Ruth, who manages to maintain her simcha of Devekus even through the death, even through her own death, and so fixes the eating from the tree of knowledge that causes death. And then we had Toma, who makes peace between the Yetzer Hara and the Yetzer Tov, as was explained. And we have Leah, our mother, who believed that everything that happened to us, even things that are natural, when the world is happening in a natural way, everything is hashkocha protis meduyekis, everything is divine providence, and that there's no point in abandoning hope, even about the past, that it's possible even to make the past change. And we had Rochel, who is the expert in gathering the holy sparks from between the nations, and all the wealth and everything good that needs to come to the Jewish people comes through her. So these techunos, rather it's not the women themselves who vanquish the world, but rather they bring down these seven forms of genius, which are with which the world can be subjugated. V'tzivoy Seyan and their hosts. What were their hosts? L'kol achas yoy mishvur. Each one has a day of the week, and has koichav mishiv koich ve'leches, and it has one of the seven moving stars, and it has one of the seven gates of the head, the two eyes, two ears, two nostrils, and mouth. And when they kshiyotzim el apoyel, hina agimel telodos shiyotzim min ha'ovois. So when these seven forms are actualized, then the three forms that came from the men, when we said what is that? There's resolve, cleaving, and mindfulness. Then they are strengthened through the seven forms of genius. So, for instance, you have Yocheved. Through the resolve and the cleaving that was in her, she manages to fix the hearts of Adam and Chava, which was the pigam of Chochmah. And Rochel, through her mindfulness and her resolve, she managed to fix the sparks that had fallen into the worst kind of wealth. And Ruth, through her cleaving and through her mindfulness and through her resolve, she manages to fix death and sadness and bitterness and fixes life. And then we have this, the 12 diagonal lines. And I think I invite you to have a look and read how I wrote those down, rather than go over them. V'raya l'dova. So here, rather than, this is note number 7, V'raya l'dova, and proof of it. It doesn't say like it says previously in other Mishnahs, V'siman l'dova, and a sign of it, but rather proof of it. There is something that can force a determinant. Like the Chachamim use this expression many times in the Gemara. And even though there's no proof, there's an indicator, right? But that's not what's being said here, right? It's not a sign, it's not an indicator, it's a proof. What is it? At the end of chapter 5, we said that there are trustworthy witnesses. Vishloishohem, and there are 3. Shemi'idim al-Hokel, that they bear witness to God. Shuhu echad vein sheniloi, that he is one without a second. What are the 3 witnesses? Olam nefesh shonu. And we explained that these are the 3 books, Sefer, Sfor, and Sipur, and Niskurim b'Perik Aleph Mishnah Aleph. They refer to the past, the present, and the future. Here in our Mishnah, we say that there are 3 fathers and their offspring, 7 subjugators and their hosts, and 12 diagonal lines. V'raya l'dova, and what's the proof? Oysam Gimel Edim Namonim, those very 3 trustworthy servants that we mentioned back. What are they? The trustworthy servants who bear witness to God's oneness. They will also bear witness to the 3 and the 7 and the 12. V'chosabir. So it's, what does it mean? Lama Tzrichim Edus V'raya. Why do we need 3 trusted witnesses and proof that there's 3 and 7 and 12? Obviously, if you need proof, it means that it's possible to deny it. You could say that it's not so. Why? She'ef shaloi meledugme kegam b'chinas levi shehoye loy tshuke l'chaim uvarorim b'li l'hachnis l'sveikas, as we explained with the tribe of Levi, that he had this tremendous desire for a life without gray areas. Right? That he wanted the pure light. So we could argue, because he lacked resolve, and because he lacked wealth, so therefore that's where his desire actually came from, a lack of something. Oiludugma, for instance, God, the tribe of God, he always wanted, his desire was to suffer, to learn how to make do with as little as possible. You could say, it would be possible to argue that because he lacks resolve and he lacks wisdom. Or if you say Don, his desire was always litikifus. He always wanted to, you know, judge me. I'm ready to be judged. I'm ready to go to court right now. Just, I want to be judged, right? And he's always ready for judgment. You could argue that it's not coming from some kind of genius, but it's coming because he lacks dveikus, and he lacks sholom, he lacks cleaving, and he lacks peace. V'chein kulam, and so all of them. Lefikach maybe raya l'dova. So the Mishnah says, I'll bring you proof. What's the proof? Oilam shona nefesh. What's the proof of oilam shona nefesh? When you look at them at first glance, there's no connection between them. What connection is there between the month of Sivan and the left leg, or between the Mars, the planet Mars, to the letter Dalet, or ben yoyma Shabbos lepeh benefesh odem, between Shabbos and the mouth in the person. Elevada yesh reshes aruga, so there's a network. There's a vast net that connects everything in the universe. One thing, and not just connecting trees and sand, you know, and mountains and this, but it's a much more complex and complicated network. Umetave boilem shona nefesh, and it weaves together space, time, and soul. And what is it? It's the manifestation of God's simple desire, hamispashet b'chol tefusot habria, which is spreading throughout every corner of creation, lahadik lekashik kol dove ba'olam dove el dove, connecting everything in the universe to everything in the universe. Chaim b'diuk hayud beis kvulim, and so exactly these 12 diagonals, shehem tchunas yud beis shivtei ka, which represent the 12 aspects of these divine 12 tribes, b'chinas Knesset Yisrael, who together make up the body of Knesset Yisrael, which is another word for the Shekhinah, Hashemi ka'amcho b'echot goy echot b'oretz, who is like your people God, one nation, v'ashoim aleihem, about whom God says, ki ani Hashem lo shonisi, I am God, I have not changed, v'atem b'nei Yaakov lo kelisem, and you, children of Jacob, haven't ended. Because these 12 children of Yaakov, they go on forever, just as the 12 directions that spread out, as we explained in the previous chapter, keep on going forever.